Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Virtual reality is often associated with gaming, but a partnership between the Northumberland Manufacturers Association and NVenture have launched a pilot to use this technology to help hire workers. Turnover in factory jobs is very high. Many people leave the job within 90 days. It is costly for employers and discouraging for workers. Many leave because they don't understand what is expected once they're hired. Using virtual reality, potential employees can now experience what it's like to be on the job. They can decide before they are hired whether or not it is a good fit. It will literally save tens of thousands of dollars for employers and give workers a better understanding of what is expected. Listen and see if you think this technology could make a positive difference in the workplace. I'm so pleased to have with me today Wendy Curtis, Chief Executive Officer of NVenture, and Darla Price, Executive Director of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Good morning, Rob.
This is a first-of-its-kind virtual reality platform that is going to be used in a very unique way. Why is it significant that virtual reality, something we often associate with video games and the like, will be used to hire and train factory workers? Wendy, I'd like to start with you.
Okay. Well, this project began maybe 18 months ago or so with NVenture, as well as in collaboration with the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. And the problem that had been identified in the manufacturing sector is that about a third of new employees actually didn't stay and sustained their employment with the employer. Basically, they left the job. And there's so many costs associated with that in manufacturing. So for manufacturers to be globally competitive, they need to reduce those kinds of non-value-added expenses. And so the concept was that introducing virtual reality before somebody actually is employed at an organization can go an extreme distance in making sure that it's a compatible career move for them. So all those downstream costs could be avoided. So the virtual reality was signaled as contemporary technology that can be leveraged in order to address the problem as it was identified.
Darla, why or how is this important to your members?
As Wendy said, for the past 3 years, 4 years, we've continuously heard from our industry. You know, Robert, we're hiring individuals we've never really had to before. It used to be we could put a sign out on the front lawn of the facility, and we've got lineup of people ready to work in manufacturing. And that isn't the case nowadays. So we're hiring individuals that really haven't had maybe that experience or that understanding of what it's like to work in manufacturing. So when they start the job and they leave before those 3 months are over, you know, the response was, I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't understand it was loud and lots of moving parts and, you know, there was anxieties and so on. So this challenge to us was, how can we expose an individual to the realities of the work before they hit the floor? So the idea is for an HR department, you know, to look at recruiting an individual. They will put them through this virtual reality, and come out on the other end and be able to say, you know what, I don't mind that type of work. I can do that job. That doesn't bother me, or And virtual reality allows us to do it in a safe manner. I don't have to put them on the shop floor to see if it scares them. I can put them through this reality in a safe space, with the right monitors, to be able to see if, they're the right fit for the organization. And as Wendy said, saving thousands upon thousands of dollars in those turnover, fees, the turnover that happens.
Before we get into the details, can we just take a moment to explain to listeners a couple of basics around virtual reality so they can follow along? Who would like to answer this? What is a virtual reality platform?
My own experience with virtual reality is more to do with, gaming. That I think we're all very familiar with the gaming part of virtual reality, where, you put on goggles, for example, and you are absolutely immersed in a simulation where you actually feel like you're in it. That's my own experience in terms of the platform itself. I don't know if you can add to that, Darla.
I'm not sure what else to add to that. It is, I'm not sure what you're kind of asking, Robert. It's a platform, and believe it or not, it has been used very successfully in the nuclear and firefighting industries, where you're able to simulate actual disaster or actual firefighting without putting the individual in any kind of harm or danger. So it's these, this digital way of seeing. There's even some virtual reality where you can actually feel it, where you can smell the smoke and feel, what's happening within your space. So it started out probably, as you said, that gaming simulation. The kids are all playing it, and now it's turned into how can we use that for real world applications? It's used also in the trades. So you see a lot of VR used in some of the schools where, hey, let's see what it's like to be a welder. And you put on the glasses and you immerse yourself in the shop, and you actually looks like you're holding your tool and you're welding
You feel it.
yes, that's right.
It's
So
like
it's
my understanding of this whole sector is it really truly began mostly with consumer gaming. And has since moved on to enterprise kind of training, like what we're talking about here. And so the platform itself, like let's say you might think of Sony PlayStation or something like that, it would be more of a consumer awareness of the actual kind of branding that goes along with the platform itself, but there are multiple platforms out there. So what we did in this case, Rob, is we created three different simulations. And then people will put the goggles on and rotate through these simulations and be able to actually feel and experience the shop floor.
Well,
That was the
let's
goal.
talk about that a bit because what's the difference, or how does this better than, say, instead of hiring somebody and then immediately putting them into the job, taking them on a tour of the facility before they start, or during the hiring process? What's the advantage of doing it digitally rather than experientially? Darla, can you help us?
So first and foremost, it's safety. To bring an individual on the shop floor, there's quite a bit that has to go into that. The three simulations we had created gives you kind of that overall feel. So repetitive work. So for example, our first simulation is heavy industry. This is making wooden pallets. And it is getting you to move your arms, to do stretching, to utilize different tools, safety on machines. So, in a 15-minute virtual reality, I can get more information into an individual than going on a 1-hour tour and trying to go through each piece of it. So, in the digital world, I can actually show you those visible safety lines that go across machinery, for safety purposes. We can show what a spill looks like, and how to, the awareness and the safety awareness around spills in the workplace, or why is the, fire extinguisher in this particular area. So we were really able to get down into the specifics that we know is what creates that anxiety or that reasoning individuals wanted to leave. It's too loud, the machine's too fast. So that's what we put in the virtual reality. We're going to make it loud. There's going to be distraction. The machine's going to be fast and quick. And we want to know, can you walk in and be confident in that space? So we tell you all about the safety features, what it means to work with the machine, and get the person, feeling better about the job and being able to come out of that simulation. Our second simulation is in robotics. So this is when you actually have a cobot. It's not a lot of hands-on. Instead, it's a lot of monitoring screens, monitoring quality control. So the job's a little different. But very reflective of the industry as a whole. So we know, and studies have shown, people four times, they learn four times faster using a virtual type simulation instead of just being walking around, and learning as an individual speaks to you. They're hum three times more highly engaged in what they're doing and how they're doing it. And like over 200% provides the individual more confidence in being able to say, yes, I'd like to take that role on, or no, this isn't a good fit for me. Maybe manufacturing isn't the best spot for me at this time. Rob,
Well,
I
how long
want
will
to.
it take
Oh, can I
to
just
that?
add to that?
Yeah.
Rob, do you mind? We embarked on this together based on identification of a challenge, like a financial, there's a real cost to the employer. But, and I think the simulations and the whole project is addressing that. But aside from that, there's also I think also a hidden benefit to the project where perhaps I never considered even a career in manufacturing. Maybe I never even thought about that. I'm hardly going to go up to the local manufacturer and ask for a tour. Because I mean, this is not going to be their highest priority that day. However, now that we have the ability to simulate it, then I can basically go to the NMA and get that figured out on my own if I wanted to. So it's also introducing the sector itself in a positive way for career opportunities, particularly for youth as they're making their choices in life. And so there's a real upside to that as well. So while we are trying to address a challenge in one way, but there's also extraordinary opportunity in another, I believe, to introduce a very vibrant sector, one that actually is extremely important to the buoyancy of our local economy. And so the more we can support the sector, the better off our local economies are. So that's the good side of it.
Where is this going to take place?
The original project was very place-based in the sense that NMA would do the actual training here at Venture 13, located in the Venture Center, right on Darcy Street, and that's fine. That will still happen, and I'm sure Darla will give us the details. But part of the revamping of the project at the beginning of it was to make sure there was digital delivery. So, in other words, the challenge was, okay, if I'm a manufacturing plant located here in Northumberland, that's great. It's easy for me. I come over to NMA and do whatever. But what if I'm in Barrie, Ontario or Northern Canada? What do I do then? And so we made it available from a digital delivery perspective. So there are two channels of distribution that I call them. One is local, place-based, and the other is digital delivery. So Darla, if you want to talk about some of the elements of that, that would be helpful. For sure. So Yeah, as Wendy said, we can do the training right here in-house. A manufacturer would send an employee they're looking to hire. Let's throw them through the training and see how they come out on the other end. And then, as Wendy said, that digital aspect that it doesn't need to just be here in Northumberland. So if a manufacturer in Barrie purchases a headset, it's in a our simulations are in a format. It doesn't matter what type of headset you purchase. So we're not very, it doesn't have to be specific. You would then upload it. We would send you a link, you would upload it to your device, and then you would be able to utilize the training rate at they could utilize the training rate at their own site. That, or you can purchase a whole package where we can give you the headset, all the simulations, and deliver and send you on your way. So lots of different opportunity depending on the need.
How long would it take to do the training itself?
Each simulation is about 15 minutes long. So we've got, if you want to do all three, we're talking about 45 minutes. So we had placed probably about an hour to sit down and then walk through the different sessions with them and ask questions and whatnot.
Wendy, who's developed this technology?
Well, the firm we selected through the RFP process is a firm called Expert VR, and they are an up-and-coming firm who has they're in the Niagara region around the Horseshoe. Young firm. They've done some very powerful VR work for the firefighting sector. And the RFP was out there, was very rigid, in terms of the deliverables that they had to do. And they were amazing young men chosen to work with us on this project. Darla, I think you know them better than me, but they are up and coming, I would say, in the virtual reality training field. So they're very excited about this project as well.
Darla, we've talked earlier in our conversation about people leaving generally within 90 days because the job's not what they expected. I want to know, how do you determine that a person doesn't just leave a job because it's not what they expected, but maybe because it's a lousy place to work and they just don't want to say that?
Because it was a continuous thing. It wasn't just a one or two here and there. And like I said, it's the individuals coming in. So those that have worked in manufacturing in the past will come in and say, you know what? I've been through this before. This isn't a great workplace to be in, and I'm leaving, and give any excuse they like. But what we were seeing or are seeing is our younger generation. So not realizing, what exactly it takes to work in manufacturing. Women who are now coming into the workplace, we've got those in second careers. So we really started to see this after COVID. Once the workplace, all our workforce went home, they all came back, we lost a tremendous amount, or we started moving individuals from the bottom up, and we always have that bottom open. I guess you can say kind of that general labor, that entry level position. And it was, you know what, every time I've got a 20-year-old come through and they leave, and it was the same thing. Machines are too loud and scary. It's anxiety. It was too much. There was too much distraction. I couldn't get my job done. I couldn't figure it out. I felt unsafe. And that could be, yes, maybe the beginning trainings didn't make them feel comforted that the machine is not going to get you. There are five different safety features in place. But once we started hearing those things over and over from multiple industries, like multiple manufacturers in different industries, one to 10 man shop to the guys with 500 in the shop, it was the same thing. And that's when it was time to, you know what? There's got to be a way for us to immerse somebody in that environment to see if they immediately get those same feelings. And we did a tremendous amount of testing over the past year with manufacturers and students and the whole bit. And there was a couple people that came out and said, you know what? I wouldn't do that job. As I was building the pallet, the forklift started to beep, and I'm looking over here and I've shut my machine down by accident. And this, so I felt through our testing and over the past year, I think we've figured it out. And yes, there's always going to be those that won't tell the truth as they walk out the door, right? But we feel confident in what we're able to do.
This project focuses on recruiting new employees, and Wendy, you po also pointed out the potential for students in making career decisions. But what about retraining, say for older employees or experienced employees, when a change occurs in a particular factory? Is there going to be any opportunity to look at that aspect of using this kind of technology?
My quick response to that would be these are fairly generic in nature. So if there are specific retraining that might be specific to a subsector of the manufacturing sector, I would say that it's not going to be like if I'm an employee now and you want to retrain me, maybe on the health and safety piece, but I do not see it as a natural
No.
fit.
How much will all this cost?
The contract itself was just around $560,000, about, and I'm good, just going by memory here, Rob, about 300 or 1,000 or so was intended for the actual simulations, and the rest are marketing costs, launch costs, some of the resource required to support the development of the project.
And how is it being funded?
Oh, the
Funding the
province of
source.
Ontario was a source, skills development fund through the Ministry of Labor and so on.
Thank you. Go ahead, Darla. You wanted to
And the
add something?
cost for the actual simulations, so locally here, you can come in-house, it's $200 to put an individual through the simulations. If you're looking to purchase it digitally, there's an extra cost for that, $500 to $600, I believe. And then if you want the whole package, headset, all downloaded, I think it's around $1,200. So, and these are introductory prices because in the marketplace, you will pay thousands for the simulations to purchase and download. But we're kind of starting with a more economical rate to get this into everybody's hands and then go from there.
It was mentioned earlier in our conversation about the incredible cost of losing people on a regular basis. How does the cost of doing this compare to the cost of losing employees? Can we get some idea of scale just so that people can appreciate?
Yeah, okay. So we've seen research that suggests that up to $52,000 per candidate leaving. Okay. Now, to me, that's on the high side, but let's go with the high side for a moment. That means it's a break even of 10 different buckets of money. But the cost is in lost productivity. Like if I walk off a factory floor right now today, because I just can't stand one more second of this. Somebody's got to make up for that. There's lost, there's a production line flowing. And it's not just that. There's the retraining, there's the overtime. Maybe somebody else has got to come in. It's a very large cost. And so I really believe very deeply that if we expect our manufacturers to be globally competitive, we, as I said earlier, we have to support them. So,
Darla, what is the Manufacturers Association role going forward?
Really, it's to, like Wendy said, take it to market. It's time to get it into the hands of our manufacturers. They've been so supportive over the past year in the development of it. And, whether it's input, time, testing, reviewing, they've been such an integral part. Now it's time to roll it out. Now it's time to show them the product that they helped build and support, and then release it to the rest of the province and hopefully the country. So our job is kind of that sales, marketing, get it into our manufacturers' hands and start helping them recruit the right individuals the first time.
Wendy, what's the role of Inventure going forward?
Well, it's basically, as an organization, we retain the intellectual property associated with this. However, we put together a 12-month agreement with NMA where they will execute this, drive the sales of this, and basically retain most of the, like 70% on the upside on the revenue associated with that. I mean, our interest is in supporting manufacturers, supporting our colleagues at NMA. I mean, that's our role right now. And Export VR will have a certain role in certain delivery styles, and NMA will be, they're going to do most of the work and they're going to get the most of the benefit, which we 100% agree is appropriate and right.
Wendy Curtis, Darla Price, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Rob.
That was Wendy Curtis, Chief Executive Officer of Inventure, and Darla Price, Executive Director of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.